السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There is an incident that we hear many of our mashayikh, many of our kabirin mentioning. It is not a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is from Israeli narrations. However, this particular one, it has a chain also, and there are many ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that give us the same message that we find in this particular incident. So this incident is of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Brother Bono was saying that if somebody tell you they met your ustad and your ustad was talking good of you, then gives you happiness. Somebody saw your employer and you're talking good of you, they give you happiness. So if somebody met your grandfather or you see your grandfather, then how much happiness it gives you? So that's why I'm smiling. Okay. This incident is of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Shaitan approached him. And Shaitan told him that, see, O Musa, if you speak to Allah Ta'ala, so, you know, I reach the point now, I also want to repent. I also now want to repent, sort everything out. So you speak to Allah Ta'ala and intercede on my behalf. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, Shaitan wishes to repent. So Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam that he's lying to you. He's not going to repent. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, but Ya Allah, he has approached me. So Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam that, see, go and tell him that he got one qaza sajda. One qaza sajda he got to make. He didn't make the sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So he must go now and he must make the sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salam. On this point, we just digress a little bit. One of our Buzrugani Deen, he mentioned that, see, what made Shaitan Shaitan? What action? What disobedience? That he disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, he didn't make one sajda. Allah Ta'ala instructed him to make the sajda, he refused to make the sajda. And that made him accursed. So this Buzurg asked, that let us ask ourselves, how many sajdas Allah asked me to make, and I never made. In other words, my salah, what is the condition of my salah? Am I reading my salah? Sometimes it's sad to say that even those of us that are connected to knowledge also, or works of deen also, but we are not regular with our 5-time daily salah. And sometimes if we are reading salah, but we are not punctual with jama'ah, and then even if we are reading our salah with jamaat, what is the quality of that salah? Quality of salah, that is for me now, this is still dur ki baat. At least to get that shakal of salah, that I'm paban on my 5-time daily salah with jamaat. And our women folk at home, they are reading their 5-time daily salah. At least this much must come in my life. Then slowly from there, Allah Ta'ala will allow me to progress. My rakats will get longer in my nawafil, my ikhlas will come, my khushu, my khuzu, all that will come. But if the container is not there, in what am I going to fill it? If the container itself is not there, in what am I going to fill it? Sometimes we are involved in works of deen. Sometimes we are mutawallis of masajid. All these things we are, but we're not reading namaz. Namaz is not there. If there is some program in a particular masjid, some jalsa, some program, something, and it's a big program now, there's some, you know, real pious person who's coming to address the gathering, then all the mutawallis are present. All are present, you know. This is our masjid, this is our chairman, this is our secretary, this one, that one. But Fajr time, when Allah Ta'ala is calling, then we absent. I'm not only talking about the mutawallis, I'm just giving an example. Sometime we come for Zuhr Salah, why? Because it coincides with lunch time. It's lunch time. So one time, hati, now I'll read Zohar also, have my lunch also. The takeaway is there near the masjid. So I'll just pick up my food and have my food. But Asr time, where am I? Asr time, where am I? Because I don't have to eat lunch Asr time, so I'm not closing my shop Asr time. Then Maghrib time, I'm gone home, no, I'm too tired. Isha time, I'm too tired. So this, how many sajdas we are missing? One sajda made shaitan regime, became a curse. So we must check our lives, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So khair. So Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam that tell him to go and make that qaza sajda. He must go and make that qaza sajda. So Musa alayhi salam came and relayed to him, see, it's an easy solution for you now. You just go and make that qaza sajda and everything is sorted out. So now you see the pride and the arrogance, the nafsaniyat. Now that comes away in front. So now he said to Musa alayhi salam that I never made sajda to him when he was alive. How I'm going to make sajda now after he passed away? In other words, I never had any respect for him. I had no regard for him. I considered myself better at that time when he was alive. Now that he has passed away, now where am I going to go and make the sajda to him? So on this occasion, Shaitan mentioned to Musa alayhi salam, so alright, never mind. No, you did me a good turn. So I'll give you some tips. I'll give you some tips. On which occasions you must be very wary of me. Now this is not because Shaitan is our khair khan. Not because Shaitan is our khair khan. He's our, you got our goodness at heart. That's why he's giving the tips. You see, a lot of times these kuffar, Allah Ta'ala protect us, whenever they got some filthy intention, or when they have come out with some new gadget, some new innovation, by which they're going to, in their minds, they're going to control insan, and they're going to do this, and they're going to influence insan in a certain way. Now, they can't let the cat out the bag. Right? They have to keep it a secret. But they also, it's boiling in them, they can't keep the secret. They want it to come out. So what they do, they show the people in movies. They show the people in movies. A certain gadget, certain something. So Shaitan also, even in this what he is telling Musa alayhi salam, is full of pride. What he is trying to say is, see, I'll have you. I can have you. I will overpower you. So he's telling Musa alayhi salam that there's three occasions you watch out for me. be very wary of me on three times. So the first one, he said, is at the time when you are angry. At the time when anger overtakes you, then be very careful of me. Because at that time, I run in your body like how your blood is moving in your veins. I run in your body at that time. And many of us who have experienced anger, you're angry. At that time, one moment you're saying to yourself, let me just walk away from this. Then, it's pushing you. No, but you shouldn't have said that. Now we come back in the fight. Then again somebody will come there, but you know what? Come break it up. Go away. Leave it. Now you're walking away, and now that fellow must make another comment. Now at that time, who's making you come back? Shaitan is running. Shaitan is running in the body. He's playing with the mind. He's stoking the fire. Stoking the fire. How can you leave him? No, he can't say that. But now he saw you now. But now he called you there. All these things Shaitan is putting. No, but he needs to be put in his place. Otherwise you do it to somebody else. We pacify ourselves. I need to sort him out. Because I'm making khidmat of the ummah. But if I don't sort him out, he'll trouble somebody else tomorrow. So I need to put him in his place. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Madrasa mentioned this one incident. One buzurg, he had prepared himself for Jummah. He's going for Jummah Salah. And for them in those days, they didn't have running water, they didn't have so many sets of clothing like us. So it was a mission for them now to get the clothes ready, have a bath, everything. And now he's prepared well in advance and he's going for Jummah Salah. As he's going, one person decides to clean his stove. So those days the stoves were coal stove, ash stove. So now he wanted to dust it. So he emptied that whole tray, he took it out and he threw it down. Now he's not even checking, somebody is walking. And it just so happened, what we will say, coincidence. Nothing is coincidence. Everything happens by the will of Allah. Each and everything happens by the will of Allah. There is no such thing as coincidence and just my bad luck. There is no such thing. Everything happens by the hukam of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala is watching us. Every moment Allah Ta'ala is watching us. How this banda of mine is going to react? What this banda of mine is going to do? In this situation, what is he going to forget me now? So this person threw the ash and this whole ash fell on this buzurg. Whole ash on his clean clothing, he's going for Jummah Salah. This whole ash now fell on him. So Hazrat mentions that he didn't even turn around to check. Who's this person who did it? Who's this person who did it? What he did, at that moment, when that anger is, just when that thing happens, and that anger is at boiling point now, he thinks of Allah. Ya Allah, he made a statement at that time. He said, Ya Allah, my gunas are so much that I was deserving of burning coal. It is only your kindness on me that you only threw ash. So I was deserving of burning coal. It is your kindness that you only threw on me ash, cold ash. Because they had it in them. Everything happens by the will of Allah Ta'ala. Insan can do nothing. Nobody can do anything. Allah does. And everything is for a reason. Everything is for a reason. So many times we hear a person says, you know, I got delayed. I was supposed to leave home. I forgot something. I went back. I faced it. I came. It was a big accident. If I was 2 minutes earlier, I would have been involved in that. Don't we hear? So at that time, Allah Ta'ala wanted to save him. After Fajr namaz, he read his Yasin Sharif, he read his du'as, whatever, he is in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wanted to protect him. He gave some sadaqah. Allah Ta'ala made him forget his phone. He comes out. Allah Ta'ala made it. He can't find his car keys. He forgot where he put it. To delay him. Now he is getting upset. He's swearing his wife. He's taking off with the maid. Allah is busy saving him. He's getting angry. So this anger, see, anger, we cannot be without anger. Insan can't be without anger. A mu'min cannot be without anger. Allah Ta'ala put anger in us. Everything that Allah Ta'ala made, whatever Allah put in us, is goodness. Anger also is goodness. Provided a person learns how to control the anger. He knows when to exercise the anger. That my anger is for Allah Ta'ala. My anger is for Allah Ta'ala. And when my anger is for Allah Ta'ala, then I will only display that much of anger in that situation which Allah wants me to display. Not more than that. When it comes to my own self, I won't get angry. That is the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to my own self, I won't get angry. I will be forgiving. Even if that anger is inside, I will drink it up. I will drink it up. I won't get angry. But when it comes for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, at times I have to exercise anger. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes when he needed to reprimand, he needed to warn the ummah, sometimes he needed to make the tarbiyat of the ummah, sometimes in his bayans, the way he used to speak becomes so emotional, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak face also used to be gone red, like as if to say somebody squeezed a pomegranate on him. That time now he needed to say something. When one lady, she committed some theft in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she committed some theft. And the case was brought to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Investigations were made, everything. And it was proven now that she did commit the theft. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave the hukam that now her hand has to be cut. That is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Now her hand must be cut. All the other fiqh that goes with it that we learn from our ulama. I'm just getting to a point. So at that time her family, they said, they approached a sahabi who was very beloved to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go and intercede on her behalf. Her hand is going to get cut. Go and intercede on her behalf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forgive her, don't cut her hand. The sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got upset. Why are you interceding with regards to the penalty which Allah Ta'ala has put? This is Allah's deen. He had to show anger at that time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the minbar, he addressed the sahaba radiallahu anhu. He showed anger. This was for the deen of Allah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he became Khalifa, and now certain people refused to pay the zakat, and he said, I will wage jihad against them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came to speak to him, said, how are you going to wage jihad on them? They have brought iman, they are reciters of the kalima. How are you going to wage jihad against them? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he reprimanded Umar radiallahu anhu. He reprimanded him. And then he made a statement. He said, I will wage jihad against them even if they have to withhold from me a rope, meaning something insignificant, which they used to give at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they withhold, I will wage jihad against them. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I realize Allah Ta'ala has opened the chest of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and what he is saying is haq. This is the truth. So that is for the deen of Allah. But for our own nafsani motives, our own nafsani motives. You know, the other day, you know, we learned from our elders. The other day I was reading one correspondence of Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Sahib from Port Elizabeth, author of the Majlis. So a person had written to him, and this person is telling him that, see, certain things I don't agree with you. This person is writing in his correspondence. He's telling Hazrat Maulana, he says, I don't agree with you certain things. And in one conversation, I let you have it. I'm telling you in layman's terms. Right? So he says, in the one conversation I spoke ill of you. I say, normally I oppose you and I make my opposition known. If I don't agree with certain thing of yours, I will oppose you and I make it known. But on one occasion, I overstepped the mark. What he was trying to say is, I overstepped the mark. I said certain things that were not right. So I'm writing to ask you for maaf. I'm writing to ask you for maaf that I overstepped the mark on that occasion. Now, one is this person, I mean, you admire him also. He's being upfront, he's telling Hazrat Maulana that, see, I don't agree with you certain things, but this time I overstepped the mark. One is, every time I just make my point, but this time now I said certain things that was wrong for me to say, so forgive me. Right? But the jawab of Hazrat Maulana was amazing. Told this person, he said, firstly, I didn't know about this, so no need for you to ask me for maaf. And this is a mistake also we make in our life, you know. Hazrat Maulana, but Qudsa Rahmatullah Alayhi used to always tell us, say, bhai, if you made somebody's ghibat and the person doesn't know about it, and this we learn in the kitabs also, person doesn't know about it, don't go and tell him, bhai, I made your ghibat, make me maaf. Insan is insan. You're going to tell him, bhai, I made your ghibat, but what you spoke? What you spoke? And if he's a person who's trying to be pious now, he can't ask you what you spoke now. He has to show you that, alright, I'm pious now, you too, very pious, you came to ask for maaf. But inside him, he's going to eat him up. What were they talking? Who was he sitting? All shaitan is going to play with his head now. Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when people used to come and tell him, Hazrat, you know, they were talking this about you, they were talking that about you. So he said a very beautiful thing. He said, those people, they took a needle, they threw it, it fell down somewhere. You went and picked up the needle and came and poked me. So you don't go and tell the person, I mean, ghibat about you. What we must do is, those same people with whom we made ghibat, go to them and set their records. So you know, that person is not like that. Speak some good about the person. So I was mistaken about you. Or set the record straight there. And then this person who we spoke ghibat about, casually maybe give him one hadiah. Be good to him. We see him, make salam to him. Do something for him for sawab. So don't go to ask him for maaf. But yes, if he came to know about it, if he knows about it, then we must go and apologize. Then we must go and ask him for maaf. Because now he knows about it already. So coming back to this, I don't know where we were. trying to think where we went off. G. So Hazrat Maulana mentioned, he said, that, see, there's no need that you have to ask me for mark because I didn't know. And then he said to him, he said, see, if according to you, you feel that I have done wrong, or I have an offer, did something wrong, it's your duty you must oppose me. He said, it's your duty you must oppose me because that is the deen of Allah. After that, Allah Pak will judge. Allah Ta'ala will deal with us according to who's right and who's wrong. But if you feel proper, you got proof that I've done something wrong, then you must oppose. You can't leave me, you must oppose. Now this is what sifa. Umar radiallahu anhu, what he told the Sahaba. As long as I'm following the deen of Allah Ta'ala, I'm doing everything right, you must support me. The day I do something wrong, you have to point it out to me. Not if somebody points out my wrong, I must get angry now. I must take it personal now. I must get angry. So, getting upset for the deen, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most cheerful, soft person, understanding person. But when it came to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, nobody got more angry than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a mu'min has to have anger. How are you going to go for jihad if you don't have anger? But we don't display this anger for nafsani things. Person is fighting with his wife. This nafsani, this little bit salt, salt is less in the food. He's so angry. Something was cooked, not what he likes. He's so angry. Are those reasons to get angry? And shaitan stokes the fire. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us prescription. A person is feeling now, is getting angry. Recite ta'awuz. Drink water if necessary. If a person is standing, he must sit down. A person is sitting, he must lie down. He's still not doing. Move away. Move away from the object of the anger. Move away. Make wuzu if necessary. But now to stand there, carry on arguing, carry on. Shaitan keeps stroking. So shaitan is saying, I run in you. Like how your blood is moving, I'm running in you. I want a problem. This person must just issue the talaq. He must issue the talaq. He must throw the punch. He must pull the trigger. And then people get so angry. They say, by you now, I don't have nothing to do with you. You must come for my janaza also. You know what a proud statement that is. That statement smacks of so much of pride. What we are saying when I say you mustn't come for my janaza, then what I'm saying is that, see, by I'm very pious. I got enough amal. I don't need anybody to make dua for me. I don't need you to make dua for me. I don't need your dua. I'm guaranteed Jannah, but I'm not doing your dua. That is what it means. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, my Spatiya Sahib, used to say, the person who tells you that you must make sure you go for his janaza, you must stand in the front, sir. What, he's going to wake up and check, take roll call and check, who came, who never came. So this anger is one thing. Today is just gone to town with anger. So much of anger, everybody is angry. We have to control this anger. Follow the prescription of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I always mention, why we angry? Because we think we're somebody. But who you think you're talking to? What you said? What you said? Why we talk like that? Because make way who? I'm somebody. He's talking to me like that. When a person considers himself to be nothing, I'm nobody. If that man saw me, But he did a favor, you only saw one time. He did a favor, you only saw one time. Is that what it did something? Now why, when he overtook me, he cut in front of me, he didn't bump me, nothing happened to me. Why I got so angry? Why I got so angry? Because who's he to cut in front of me? That's why I got angry. No other reason. Now why I want to chase him? Why I want to hoot at him? And then some certain sign language which even people who are, you know, people who go for classes for sign language, they too don't learn all that sign language, all that also happens. And where I'm going? For namaz. Going for namaz. This anger we must get rid of. We must make a firm intention. Make a firm intention. I'm not going to get angry. There was one brother. He used to get angry, he only swear. Swearing was come. So he wrote, he said, no, I'm only swearing. I want to give up the swearing habit. So his sheikh told him, he said, I keep one copy with you. Keep one notebook with you. So every time you swear, you make a mark. You make a mark. How many times you swore for the day, you make a mark. And then you phone me after Isha. Now he didn't know what's the prescription. So anyway, Bichara, he was like an accountant now for the day. He's keeping account how many times he's swearing. So end of the day, he counted about 51 or 53 times he swore for the day. So after Isha, he phoned the chef. He said, Hazrat, 53 times I swore. So the chef told him, it's alright. For every time you swore, it two rakat namaz. And you do it tonight. Tonight. You don't go to sleep till you finish. Man was sincere. Man was sincere, he did it. The next day, he only had two. Third day, he gave up swearing. You see, a person, if he's sincere, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. And if he follows the prescription, today's time, a person writes to the sheikh, I've got this problem, that problem. The sheikh says, alright, do this, do that, do that. After 2 months, I'm a failure, I'm a this. People write a lot of things. No, I'm a failure, I'm a this, I'm a that. What's the sheikh going to do with all that stuff? He don't want to know about you being a failure. You full of yourself, you're writing about yourself. Who told you to write a book about yourself? But now if the sheikh asks him, by that prescription I gave you last time, you completed it. No, I did one day, then I never do, then I am not doing. So if you don't take the medication, how is the problem going to come there? So a person's relationship with his sheikh must be an open book. He must tell his sheikh what his problem is. People are under the misconception, you know. And sometimes the younger brothers, I don't know who puts this idea in their head. I know I had one friend, and Haji Bhai Padhya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was sitting for i'tikaf one year in Peter Marisburg, in a restock masjid. So I told this friend, I said, come in, let's go and visit Haji Sahib. It was between Asr and Maghrib Salah, Haji Sahib used to allow people to come and make mulaqat at that time. So I told him, come, let's go, we'll meet Haji Sahib. So he said, I can't go there. I said, why you can't go there? No, not my league. I said, what? Not your league. Come. Anybody can go. These people are hippies. He said, they'll just touch your hand. They know everything you teach. He said, they'll just touch your hand. Everything you teach, they'll know everything. No such thing. There's no such thing. A person, he has to make ittila. He has to inform his sheikh. This is my weakness. That is my weakness. And the biggest problem with the sadiq is when he picks up on a weakness, shaitan tells him, You don't have to tell about this. You can sort this out, the easy one, you can sort it out. Don't inform about this. That's the biggest downfall. The sadhik, he must always inform. And he must never think that, you know, if I have to inform my sheikh of my weaknesses, my sheikh now he'll write me off. I'm very bad, I'm like this, I'm like that. No. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he had a lot of shafqat for this banda here. So a lot of people used to tell me, see, Hazrat loves you. Hazrat loves you. So I used to tell them, bhai, I'm in an ICU. See, you people are in a general ward. General ward, a doctor has come past, but you're all well. You're on your way out, you're waiting to get discharged. You're waiting to be out now. You've got a clean bill of health. They're just checking your bowels are working, this is working, they send you home. I'm still in the ICU, the doctor has to concentrate. He has to check properly. So the person who makes ittila to his sheikh, he tells his sheikh, the whole maqsad of the relationship is for the sheikh to help you to reform, connect you with Allah Ta'ala. That is the whole maqsad. The maqsood is not the sheikh. The maqsood, the objective is not the sheikh. The objective is Allah Ta'ala. The sheikh is the means. So now, when a person knows that my maqsood is Allah, now he'll open up to his sheikh. I got this weakness, I got that weakness. Now the sheikh will pay more attention to him. This patient needs help. He wants my help. Sheikh will love him even more. He'll make more dua for him. When he's going to wake up the Tahajjud time and make dua, he's going to think of him. He got this weakness, he got that weakness. I must make dua to Allah. Allah must remove those weaknesses from him. So this person, in 3 days, he gave up his swear. He left on his swear. So this is the first thing that Shaitan told Nabi Musa alayhi salam, that be wary of me in a state of anger. So many people, they fight 3 talaqs. Then next day now they're looking for this mufti, that mufti, that mufti, grand mufti. All mufti, they want to make trinity job. 3 into 1. 1 into 3, and 3 into 1. This, then on the internet they go on. Yeah, they go on. All because of ghusla. And Azmah Mazhar Sahib, he always mentions this incident, that one lady came to him, and he said that, one lady came to one buzurg in the village, yeah, and he said to that buzurg, he said, you know, I don't know what's the problem. As soon as my husband comes in the house, yeah, the war breaks out. For nothing, the war just breaks. I don't know what causes it. Must be some bhoot balaya in the house, some jadu, something. Somebody did something to us. That's the biggest bahana to me. Somebody did something to us. That's why we're fighting so much. So the buzurg, he was a little bit, you know, he had hikmat in him. So he took one bottle of water. So, you know, he said, you take this water and go home. When your husband walks through the door, you take one sip of this water. Then, na nigalna na ugalna. You don't take it out, you don't take it in. You just keep it in your mouth. You hold this water in your mouth. And you come see me after 1 week. 1 week later, she went by the Hazrat. Wow, she will offer prayer to find me. 4 weeks we never argued. Not one argument. Our relationship is gone so wonderful. So the bear, nothing, I don't read anything there. The only thing is you held your tongue. That's all. See, you held your tongue. You couldn't swallow, you couldn't spit. That water was in your mouth. Now you have to keep quiet. That's all it takes. So many husband and wife, they are advised. See, when one gets angry, when a person gets angry, what you call it? What they say when a person gets angry? They say, he's mad. He's really mad. Mad. Just watch out. He's mad. When a person is angry, he's mad. So I always tell them, I say, see, one is mad, the other one stays sane. You know that one is mad. But that moment, that person is mad. Now you stay sane. You're not mad as yet. You stay sane. If both going to go mad, now we got an asylum. Now we can't sort out anything. So you stay sane. Tomorrow maybe you'll be mad. You stay sane. Whatever made this person angry, now you also don't get angry. You also stay sane. Stay sane, calm things off. So this is the first thing that Shaitan mentioned. The second thing Shaitan mentioned, he said that at the time of jihad, at the time of jihad, be wary of me. Because at that time, I come to the mujahid, I remind him of his wife, I remind him of his children, I remind him of his wealth, of his home. And what I'm trying to do is I want to get him off the battleground. Get him off the battleground, he must turn his back. Now with regards to this also, there is warning in the hadith. If a person is in battle and he turns his back, he flees from the battlefield, there's a lot of warning in the hadith. So Shaitan is telling Musa a.s. that at that time be wary of me. We in our situation, in our country currently, we don't have any war situation. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us, we mustn't ask for war. We must have a desire for shahadat. A person who got no desire for shahadat is something wrong. Every one of us, we must have a desire for shahadat. But we don't ask for war. But if war has to come, then we must be steadfast. We must face war with steadfastness. So currently we don't have that war that's fought with guns and bombs and all those things. But we have a lot of jihad on the nafs. And Shaitan is making the same waswasa at that. A person, one deal is coming to him, but it's not too good. You can see, there's some doubtful thing here. Now Shaitan makes him think of his wife, makes him think of his children. How are you going to pay the bills? Your wife will get so happy if you put that diamond ring on her finger. You'll outdo your brother-in-law for once. So just do this deal. Just bribe that fellow and get the contract. What you worried about? After that, make toba. So Shaitan comes to us at that time. But there also we have to remain steadfast. That what is the hukam of my Allah? I must fulfill the hukam of my Allah. I must stand. And for my deen, whatever Allah Ta'ala wants of me, I must remain. Firm. If it costs my life, it costs my life. If it costs anything else, it costs, but I must remain firm on my deen. I can't compromise my deen. So that is the second thing. And the third thing that Shaitan mentioned is never be alone with a woman. Na-mahram woman. When you are alone with a na-mahram, na-mahram man and woman, when they are alone, then I put ideas in both their heads. I tempt the both of them. I tempt the both of them. That now the mind goes towards guna. The mind goes towards sin. So, one is to be physically alone with a woman, a na-mahram woman. This is something, you know, all of us, we have to be very, very careful. Lot of times, I don't know, maybe they are young ulama, etc. Sometimes not even ulama, sometimes just friends, whatever. And now, another friend got a problem in his marriage. Now the wife is phoning this friend to complain. And she needs some counseling. And she needs some advice. Now this person, he feels that he is helping. He's saving the situation. But now he's having lengthy, lengthy conversations with this man's wife. And sometimes this can end up in a lot of problems. This is wrong. Even if a person, a couple, they have to come, they need some advice, they need some help. At that time also the laws of parda, everything have to be taken into consideration. It doesn't mean if these people have come to me for help now, so automatically now the laws of parda, everything flew out the window. Even that time, I have to take into consideration the laws of Allah Ta'ala, otherwise what am I helping? I can't be serving the deen of Allah by breaking the laws of Allah. There's no khidmat of Allah's deen while breaking the laws of Allah. I'm supposed to be establishing the laws of Allah. How can I be breaking the laws of Allah? I can't give da'wat to deen using a medium that is breaking the laws of Allah. What sense is there? How can I do that? How can I? A lady, her voice should be in parda. Now if she say, no man, you know, I've got to give da'wat now. So I've got to find a platform where my voice can be heard everywhere. The whole world must hear, because there's this sickness and that sickness and that fitna and this fitna. And we have to empower the woman and we have to do this and that, and the ladies need to know. So I must find that platform where my voice can be heard everywhere. Deen won't spread. Deen won't spread. That person's fame may spread, which will become a shame tomorrow. Some fitna will spread, but deen won't spread. So even in this situation, he won't be helping that marriage in any way. And sometimes he'll be destroying his own marriage also. He'll be destroying his own marriage also. And even a doctor, a medical practitioner, you know, one friend of mine, he studied, he became a doctor. So he got married. Now after he got married, his wife, she had ghairat, you know. So she told him, you know what, I can't handle this thing. You, the lady is coming there in the surgery, you behind the closed doors, with this lady, you consulting and all of that, I can't handle this. You are my husband. What kind of consult is this? So he told her, he said, Begum Sahiba, if you're really not happy, I can't be in this profession. So this is what this profession is all about. So he gave it up. He gave it up. He said, no, for your heart, I'll give it up. Now he studied so many years. He said, no, what you're saying is right. I can't be alone with this woman coming here for consults and everything. I can't be alone with them. What you're saying is right. And to keep your heart, I'll give it up. So he gave it up. I'm not saying all the doctors will give it up. I'm just giving his example. But Allah Ta'ala, the way he opened his door, rosy after that. Allah gave him a lot. But here, one optician, he's not from this country, so don't start trying to figure out who the optician is. But one optician told me this thing from another country. He said, Maulana, this lady came for consult. She needed to test her eyes and all that. Now you know optician's room, when they're testing your eyes, they're off the light also. To make the room dark, put the light on there. So he said, now in the darkness now, switching this lens, switching that lens, he said, by mistake, my hand touched her hand. I was going to put the lens, she went to do something, and my hand touched her hand. But I got a feeling that she never moved it. See, Shaitan, how he works? So when I touched the hand, it's not like, you know, like she felt bad and she moved the hand. So she was very casual of it. So I said to myself, well, let me take a second chance. Let me just confirm it. By we be laughing, right? He said, but is it a laughing matter? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he equated, if you touch the hand, na mahram woman's hand you touch. You rather take a peg and drive it through then touch the Namaharana. You know, in one bayan somebody mentioned these things about touching a Namaharana's hand. So one day I was traveling with one brother. We came to the toll road. We came to the toll, so he was driving his car and he put the petrol also. So he came to the toll road, said, come us, come now, let us pay the toll. Like, so I went to take out, so he said, no, don't worry about what it here. I said, never mind this, no. So he opened his ashtray place there and he took out one packet with the exact coins inside. And he took it, he paid. He came to the next toll, said, no, one packet. We got each packet labeled, which toll. From the Marisburg to Joburg, each toll, which toll it is, he got labeled two sets. He said, no, you can touch the woman's hand. See, when you're giving the note, just a normal person, not an adim, nothing. Just a normal businessman. He said, no, I heard this thing, a warning of touching a strange woman's hand. So I got this habit, before I leave home, I put all the money, exact money, in the packets, I take the packet, and I put it there, finish. They don't have to give me no change, I don't have to put anything in their hand. Taqwa, you know taqwa, when you have love for Allah Ta'ala, then you don't have to look at masla in the book. Fatwa you will get, somebody will know, you don't have to be so careful, that's now. But when a person has got that love for Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't want to do the wrong, he will find ways. He will find ways. Now, this is not, I mean, look at this. I marveled at him when he told me this thing. I said, we read the Hadith Sharif, we didn't decide to do this. But he said, no, I don't want to touch. So this incident, this optician told me, he said, so I. No, at that time now Shaitan was the better of me. So at some stage in the consult, her hand was on the table, I put my hand. And he said, one thing led to another. She almost lost her marriage, I almost lost my marriage. So he said, after this incident, after whatever, long story, but he said, after this incident, I made my consult room glass. This glass on the side where my, you know, when you enter the shop now, they have the people who are working there. So those people can see inside the room. I mustn't be alone where nobody can see. So sometimes it can be a doctor, sometimes it can be an alim, sometimes it can be a consultant, whoever. We are all vulnerable. Shaitan can catch any one of us. No, watch out when you are alone with a non-mahram woman. At that time, I tempt the boat. I tempt the boat. And we must never ever think that we are safe. That I am above the plot of Shaitan. Shaitan can trap any one of us. Any of us, we can be trapped. So these three occasions, one is anger, one is at the time of jihad. As I said, we don't have a war situation. But there are so many things that go against our nafs. At that time we must remain with istiqamah. Remain with istiqamah. And the third thing is non-mahram woman. Our Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Haq Mahdah Sahib, he is mentioning every time, saying in today's time, the biggest fitna are the apps. Hazrat doesn't know too much about this technology or anything. So he just, somebody told him this word apps. So every time he said the apps. So last night he mentioned in the majlis, he said, somebody asked me, what is the apps? So is the phone, saying this phone is a shaitan. It's a shaitan. This phone, the apps. He said, then they're asking me Instagram. So what's Instagram? I don't know what is Instagram. I mean, shukr to Allah Ta'ala that I don't know what is Instagram, as he mentioned last night in the masjid. But this, one is to be physically alone with the woman. But wallahi, so many of us, married people, young people, old people are getting caught up in fitna. Getting caught up in fitna. One brother just told me the other day, and today this phone, because our daughters got phones in their hands, our son, everybody got their own phone. It has become so easy to make guna. Everybody got a phone, everybody got a number. So easy to get involved. One brother, he was telling me, he says, I was sitting there in one function, one wedding function. Where are we going to get barakat in these wedding functions? So much of filth in guna takes place. So he said, I'm sitting there, my nephew was there. He's telling me, he said, my nephew was there. One girl went past. Now my nephew is looking to get married. So one girl went past. So he fancied the girl. So he called his sister quickly. Told his sister, he said, go by that girl, ask her for her number. Ask her for her number. So that girl, a little bit sharp she was. The sister went and asked her for the number. So the girl told the sister, go tell your brother, I'll give him my mother's number. So that person came back to relay the message. So the uncle is sitting next door. So the uncle told, yeah, go get the mother's number. Why? It's not a laughing matter. It's a crying matter. That woman can be your wife. That woman can be your married sister. That woman can be your mother. We are gone filthy. And we don't even realize filth to be filth anymore. The way it hurt me the other day, I'll conclude on this. Some tournament or something was taking place. I think here it took place this side, some soccer thing, whatever. And happened, I don't know whether how they interviewed. I don't think the Alim could have been there. He got no job there. But anyway, whatever the story, when they interviewed this person, they say he's an Alim. They interviewed him about the tournament. So he made a statement that, and I'm not pointing fingers at the Alim, I'm just trying to explain that how sometimes our thinking is gone warped. Right? He made a statement that, well, first he praised this whole thing and how wonderful it is and whatever and whatever. And then he said that, you know, we had a senior Alim of our country, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he used to say that, you know, we must create, give our children so much of halal, halal entertainment, so that their minds don't go to haram. Now what he said is correct, that was Hazrat Malfus. Hazrat used to say that see, give your children enough halal, let them enjoy themselves in halal entertainment, halal things, right? So that their minds don't go towards haram. And some example Hazrat used to give, he said, now, if your wife wants a TV, so you can't allow her to have a TV, that is haram. So get rid of the TV. Now, go and buy her one gift that's more expensive than the TV. So she'll realize that it's not that you don't want to spend on her for the TV, it is really that you don't want the TV because it's haram. So Hazrat used to say, play with your children, spend time with your children, spend time with your wife, so that their minds don't go towards haram and wrong things. But now, can that malfus fit here? An event that is aired on TV, mixed gathering, a sport that got nothing to do with Islam, That sport got nothing to do with Deen Islam. It's a kufar sport. Right? Now can that statement, that malfuz, fit in here? You can't fit it in there. But the person who said it, now he's thinking that it's befitting for there. His thinking is befitting for this. So in other words, he is not realizing the wrong that's taking place there. He is not seeing the wrong. In his mind, we're not blaming him. In his mind, he is considering that entertainment to be of a halal nature. That's why he's taking Hazrat's name and he's putting that marfuz there. But if you take that whole event, how can that event be halal? So there's a lot of things like this. That's just one thing we must check in our life. How many things they are like this? Our Hazrat Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali used to say, and our Jobak brothers also are very guilty of this. Because you have to come annually to have a salt water bath. So Hazrat used to say that you are wearing a kurta. You are wearing a kurta. You got a beard. Your wife is in parda. And you're walking on a beach run. Does it make sense? You're walking on the beach run, busy December time, Easter time, whatever. You're walking there with your wife. She is in parda. You are in kurta, topi, whatever. Right? Or you're wearing your three quarters that time because you want to swim, but you got your mashallah dirty and everything. Right? And you're walking there in the midst of guna. In the midst of sin is all filth happening there. Music is playing there. Women, people, all poor people with no clothes are walking there. Bichara. All moving around there. Zina is happening. Everything is happening there. And we feel that, no, our iman is intact. Our taqwa is intact. How? Now, we don't consider it to be wrong. I tell some friends, I say, see, in the old days, they used to show the Italian people eating on the pavement outside the restaurant. The restaurant, not eating outside in the pavement. It's a culture. So now, here also in South Africa, the people are eating on the pavement. I say, before the homeless people used to do that. Now the person, Allah gave him a house. He got a house, he's got a wife, he's got a daughter. He's taking all of them out of the house and he's going to sit on the pavement outside to eat. But it's a culture. He's regarded as fine. There's no problem. He's sitting on the road there on the pavement like a homeless beggar and he's eating. But it's nothing wrong. We're not doing anything wrong. We are fine. So there are so many things like this. Interest. To get involved with interest. One person, youngster, met an accident. So he's telling me, he said, but you know, my one family member is supposed to be a pious person, whatever. But he came to the accident scene. First question he asked me, you insured? So I told him, yeah. You see, I'm feeling reluctant to tell him now because he's supposed to be like a pious figure in our family. So I'm feeling reluctant to tell him that the car is insured. But now I have to answer him now. So I told him, no, I'm insured. Oh, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah on guna. Hazrat mentioned this. He said we have a walima, what we call a walima. It's not a walima, it's a party, a haram party function. All sabkut andar, maskar andar, everything is happening there. Guna is taking place. Right? And after that, when that bride's father or the groom's father, whoever is met in the masjid, his friend met him, the Mauli Sahib met him, whatever. Hey, how the nikah went well, how the function went with, hey, shukar. Musab, hey, shukar. Everything went well. What went well? What went well? Beer pardagi, music, intermingling, photography. So many people's namaz became qaza, israf. Shukar, everything went well. Hazrat mentioned the statement, if you really have to analyze it, can take a person towards kufr. So there's lots of things like this, but it's not a laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter. The father, he's got kurta, everything, he's walking with his daughter. There's nothing left to the imagination how his daughter is dressed, and they're walking in public. His own daughter, does he not have ghairat in him? There's no sharam in him to walk with his daughter like that. So it's not a laughing matter. These are serious, serious things. We are not realizing where we're going. We're just going. And if anybody points anything out, oh, they're making fitna. They're dividing the ummah now. They know these people are heavies. They're like this. But if ulama are not going to talk and show us where we're going wrong, are we ever going to know we're going wrong? Are we ever going to know we're going wrong? We'll just keep slipping. We won't know what's happening. So our deen, we are losing it. We used to hear the Jamaats in old days, they used to go to France, they used to go to Switzerland, here, there, and they'd come. And say, you know, people, there's no deen left, only the name they got. They used to talk like that. Only the name is there, nothing else. But look at our community. Look at our community. On the one side, alhamdulillah, and we make lakh shukr to Allah Ta'ala, the works of deen are on the rise. Darul Ulooms are there, madaris are there. The amount of asbab for us to get close to Allah Ta'ala is unprecedented. But we're taking these things for granted. And on the other side, the decline is at such a rapid rate that sometimes the decline is taking place in the name of deen. The decline is taking place in the name of deen. So we have to be very, very careful. Hold on to our ulama. Keep reading the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Keep reading the lives of Sahaba alone. That will keep our alignment right. You see, don't look at what's happening here. What's happening now is not our model, it's not our blueprint. We don't have to keep playing catch up with the kuffar. We got our own thing to do. If they're doing things in a certain, we don't have to keep playing catch up with them. Everything they do now, we have to find something, panel beat it a little bit, keep it with some flavor of Islam and call it Islamic. We can't really keep playing catch up with them. They are on a different path. Our path is different. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it very, very clear. Read Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. Very clear. Our paths are totally, totally different. So let us make a firm intention, mate. Make a firm intention. I must hold on to my deen. Abdu alayha bin nawakil. Must hold on, like how a predator holds on to that hunt with its canines. I must hold on to my deen like that. Must hold on fast. Nothing must go. And if I'm doing wrong, I must accept I'm doing wrong. Then I'll make dua. Don't justify my wrong. Allah protect me first. I'm the most needy. Allah Ta'ala protect me. Allah protect you. Protect the ummah. Allah use us. Keep salah alive. Keep ta'aleem alive. Stay connected to the masjid. Stay connected to the works of deen. Stay connected to our ulama, our akabirin. Study the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read up the lives of the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. This will keep our alignment. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghif. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghif. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وخطيئة. اللهم ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا كريم يا غفور رحيم يا رؤوف رحيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا راحم المساكين يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام والعزة التي لا ترام. نسألك يا الله يا رحمن بجلالك ونور وجهك. هو الله هو موز بلبل الله كايند الله لبن الله فوقبن الله تولرنت الله كيرين الله. هو الله who loves to forgive. هو الله who becomes pleased when he is mandated to him for forgiveness. هو الله we are forgiving us. We are full of faults, full of shortcomings, full of weaknesses, ہم جانتے ہیں کہ ہم گندے مجرم ہیں گنہگار ہیں بدکار ہیں سب کچھ ہے مولا. But we are your slaves. Ya Allah, if you have to turn your glance of rahmat away from us, where are we going to go, O Allah? Ya Allah, we are knocking at your door, O Allah. You forgive each and every one of us, O Allah. Sarira, kabira, amadan, khatan, zahiri, batini, sare gunahon ki maghfirat farma de, mola. Sare gunahon ki maghfirat farma de, mola. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, forgive our asatiza, forgive our mashayikh, Ya Allah, forgive our spouses, our children, our family members, our friends, those whose haq is upon us, those whose ihsan is upon us, those who have asked us to make dua for them. Ya Allah, forgive all those that have passed away. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of our beloved Rasulullah Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, grant us all hidayat of Allah. Grant us the tawfiq of Allah to see haq for haq and batil for batil. Hey Khuda, our hearts are in your control. Turn our hearts to your obedience, O Allah. Safeguard us from your disobedience, O Allah. Make us all yours, O Allah. Bless us with your love, O Allah. Bless us with the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with your noor, O Allah. Fill our eyes with your noor, O Allah. Fill our tongues with your noor. Every limb of ours with your noor, O Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in your divine guidance, in your divine protection. Keep us on Sirati Mustaqim. Bless us with istiqama. Keep us, O Allah, firm on Shariat and Sunnah, O Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us. Ya Allah, there are so many fitnas, O Allah. You protect us, protect the Ummah at large, O Allah. So many fitnas are being packaged in the name of Deen, O Allah. So many are being misled, O Allah. Ya Allah, people are coming from outside. Ya Allah, from within. So much of fitna is being spread, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect our iman, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to carry out nek aman, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us yaqeen and tawakkul in you, O Allah. Bless us with akhlaq hamida. Remove from us akhlaq razila. Ya Allah, save us from gunas, O Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in your obedience. Bless us with your raza mandi. Let us live a life that is pleasing to you, O Allah. Ya Allah, those that are sick and ailing, grant them shifa'i kamila, ajila mustabila daima. Ya Allah, those in financial difficulty, remove them from their financial problems. Those that are in disputes, O Allah, Ya Allah, you create a good end result, O Allah. Ya Allah, those that are not talking to one another, put muhabbat, O Allah. Create muhabbat between husbands and wives, parents and children. Family members, Ya Allah, Ummat ko ek bana de, Ummat ko nek bana de. Ya Allah, unite the Ummat on haq, O Allah. Unite the Ummat on haq, O Allah. Ya Allah, keep the saya above our akabirin, above our heads, O Allah. Ya Allah, keep us, O Allah. Ya Allah, let our akabirin show shafqat upon us, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, keep all our dini madaris, our makatib, our darul ulooms in your protection, O Allah. The students of deen, the works of deen, تبلیغ اور دعوت کی کام کو آپ قبول فرما خانقاہوں کو آپ قبول فرما مساجد مکاتب دارالعلوم کو آپ قبول فرما یا اللہ this دارالعلوم کو بل بلوت استاد واللہ مولانا حسن صاحب یا اللہ keep مولانا حسن صاحب with عافیت good sick یا اللہ take the مدرسہ from strength to strength take the طلبہ from strength to strength یا اللہ let them become beacons of ہدایت around the world واللہ take the face of our اساتذہ and our مشاہد to the four corners of the world, O Allah. Ya Allah, you protect and safeguard us, O Allah. Ya Allah, cause your winds of hidayah to blow in the four corners of the world, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, when the time of our maut comes, Ya Allah, take us away with iman, O Allah. Take us away with iman, O Allah. Ya Allah, when we are lowered in our kubur, Ya Allah, let us answer the questions, Ya Allah, let us pass the exam. Let our covers be gardens from amongst the gardens of Jannat, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, give us, let our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give us a drink from Hawza Kawthar. Let our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make sifarish for us. Let us be seated in the shade of your arsh. Ya Allah, let us receive our namai amal in our right hand. Ya Allah, let us cross the sirat to the speed of lightning. Ya Allah, grant us entry into Jannah without any reckoning. And above all, O Allah, grant us your ru'yat in Jannat, O Allah. Grant us your ru'yat in Jannat, O Allah. Bless each one of us with Jannat as with those, O Allah. Ya Allah, accept our sitting, O Allah. Ya Allah, accept our sitting, give us tawfiq, make amal, O Allah. Let it be a means, a turning point in our lives, a means of our hidayat, of our Islam, a means of us being connected with you, O Allah. Ya Allah, you accept us, O Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله
Molana, taking out his dedicated time and presenting us with a beautiful, valuable advice. Inspector President Nandas, inshallah, Azan will take place now and at 10 past 8.